podcast.
Hello, my name is Luis Cronopio, and today I'm here with Ndapewa Feni. We are both master students of African culture, and today we are going to talk about fashion and styling. Just a short remark about the interpretation of the words. In fashion, as a fashion, we consider here the distinctive and often constant trend in the style in which a person dresses, and the styling, something like an on-the-move autobiography, and the styling as an idea of a cultural identity. Feni, we were talking before and about our fashion and our styling in Namibia categorizes different cultural groups. Do you think that clothing, the way you dress, is an important way of communication?
Absolutely, I would think, especially in this modern world. I must acknowledge the transformation that fashion in that perspective has gone through in Namibia and among different cultural groups of Namibia, because basically what is, for example, traditional clothing of different cultural groups in Namibia today is not necessarily what was before colonialization and before missionaries came to the country and basically told most of the tribes or most of the cultural groups that dressing up the way they did was not decent enough. So it is a case that fashion is a way of communication. And today in the new Namibia or independent Namibia, different groups, different cultural groups have a way of expressing their dressing codes or dressing styles, through, different types of clothing. And with that, you can actually identify who is from what group. Yeah.
And do you have some examples of some distinctive groups?
Absolutely. So we have, depending of course on the categories that I used, it's very hard to give this the exact number of how many subgroups we have or groups in Namibia we have, because some groups are categorized as, one main and then you have subgroups. But also within those categorized groups, you have different way of dressing codes. So let's just argue that we have more than 13 cultural groups in Namibia. And all these groups dress quite differently when it comes to clothing or fashion. One, I would start with those that are maintaining their cultural, identity in terms of clothing style, and that is the Himba, for example. Himba people, specifically Himba women and children, are up to this date wearing their traditional clothing style in general, whereby they usually are topless, they don't wear any top, and then they use the skins of animals sometimes, or sometimes just their clothing, to cover the front and the back of their lower body, basically. And then they have, of course, some other, you know, items that they wear along the clothing that they are covering with. So that's amazing for me that up to this date, the Himba people are still keeping their traditional dressing code as always, without any influence. Of course, there is pressure and so forth, especially for in Himba women who go to the city and start to make a livelihood in the city. One thing is tourism, so which has kind of, influence on whether they would maintain their culture in the city, because maybe through that
they can earn some money of making selfies.
Yes,
with tourists.
Exactly that. And also another one is from the other, you know, tribes, other groups that are within, because on one hand, maybe the pressure is coming from the tourists and trying to make money, whereas on the other hand, with the other locals, they might feel uncomfortable in the cities, and therefore sometimes maybe they would just want to be, you know, like any other person. But I must applaud them for just, you know, in general, you go to the capital city, you would still find Himba women wearing what they have always worn.
And they are quite accepted.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In general, like, they are accepted. You go to a supermarket, you would find a Himba woman pushing a trolley with fruits or whatever they want to buy. And they are wearing their traditional clothing. So whether now, you know, after, you know, because basically they sit in one area in the city where they sell their crafts and so on. And they go from there, of course, to the supermarket. So whether when they go home, they change into something else, which I kind of doubt, because I really have good connection with some of them, and I visited some in their, you know, little homes, and they seem to maintain that.
Would you guess this image of Himba woman going to work in the office at the governmental place?
That's what I was about to come in and on, how, you know, pressure could be put upon them, especially in the what do they call it, in this world of employment and so on. I would not think, sadly, traditional clothing is usually, it usually equates to, you know, old and uncivilized way of being. So it's not very common to find, first of all, Himba women, to be specific, working in, what do they call it? I forgot the English word.
For?
So, like work, employment...
policies or what do you
mean? Yeah. They have... Okay, working in the government.
Capitalism.
In the We can say that. we can say that. So basically, most of them are self-employed. I do remember they used to have a Himba minister. She unfortunately passed on last year, and but she wore, you know, obviously. I'm saying obviously because I don't see it happening, whereby one would go to work with their, you know, traditional...
She was a minister.
Yeah, she was. She was...
And she went to the meetings with her dress style.
Yeah, she had to wear formally.
Okay.
She couldn't.
Yeah.
Because I guess it's okay for one to be self-employed and roam around in their traditional clothing, or go to a meeting even in their traditional clothing. But it's another thing to be employed in offices and so on, and be allowed to wear your traditional clothes.
This office have how can I say, like a colonial dress code,
yeah,
of like the man would wear dark or one color trousers.
Absolutely.
And one color,
especially the man. Yes, you
shirt with a tie.
Yes, absolutely. That is the official way that you would find in Namibia, if not in most African, or basically in developing countries, when it comes to styling clothing. So men wear suits and you know, ties. Women wear, you know, also
sometimes,
suits and of course heels, and that is recognized as official or formal wear. Things have kind of changed today because somehow there are events and circumstances where one is allowed basically to wear their traditional clothing. And I think now it's also not really like radical that you should wear this specific. I, for example, work at the university, and then I wore what I want, what I would like to.
And mostly colorful clothes,
and with my beads and whatever I wanted, anytime, any day. It's not so common though, like people do that during cultural festival, because we do have cultural festival whereby it goes on for a week and one is supposed to wear their traditional clothing and so forth. But then the cultural festival ends and then you are basically expected to be back to the formal clothing. So again, what is traditional clothing today is not in most cultures, having already mentioned the Himbas, who have maintained their cultural dressing code for since ever. Other groups had to basically change because of yes, missionaries who have gone there and told you know, the people that this is indecency if you are wearing your traditional clothes, for example wearing animal skin and or animal stomach, which we used in my cultural
animal stomach.
Yeah,
how do you do work it?
They work it basically, I guess, like you would work on, you know,
leather
basically. Yeah, okay. But also the animal stomach, I don't remember how they did it. I as a matter of fact, I don't know the process, because nowadays nobody does that anymore, unfortunately, so I wouldn't tell you on how they did that. But yes, they had their leather clothing, shoes, whatever, and they wore beads from, you know, ostrich eggs and so on. To this date, you do have circumstances where you would find somebody wearing beads, but on top of the what is today known as odelela in my language, in my culture, which was actually brought in by Europeans, and now
odelela.
Yes, odelela. We call it odelela. Of course, that's the name we have given it to the material and to the clothing that we have acquired after we were told that, you know, our cultural, the original.
This odelela, now the I would guess the youth, middle class group, will mix odalela with other styles, other accessories.
Yes, accessories, yes. They would, in today, like if you go to rural settings, you would see old women also wearing odelela, traditionally, in inverted comma, that is. But then in other parts, like I do remember most recently, including the president's wife, the first lady, her wedding gown was actually made with odelela clothing, you know, and made, of course, with other materials. So they do indeed kind of mix it and to create another kind of style, you know. One thing I also wanted to mention is that, what did I want to say? Oh my, I don't remember. But anyway, I don't remember. But basically, things really, it keeps changing also the trend, you know? It keeps changing, I guess, like any other fashion, no? Like every year something is introduced to this clothing. And then it becomes something else. So it keeps changing, but definitely we have lost the, you know, the original traditional styling that we have had before odelela material.
And do you think that when people dress themselves with clothes and styling of the, let's generalize to say, European style or urban European style, they would convey this image of having a better education and consequently to find a better
employment? Absolutely, because I do remember I do remember even from university that I dressed quite differently when I was doing my bachelor, and people thought I was an artist, and artist in the concept of media,
artist.
Yeah, an artist doing arts just because of my dressing code.
Yes.
So art is like, you know, a not serious thing.
Yeah.
I didn't do art myself, and I don't approve the idea that art is not significant, but it's funny how if you are, for example, wearing traditional clothing, or you are wearing, you know, some sort of traditional accessories, you are considered as an artist. But if you are wearing a full, you know, European style, then you are considered as a profession, you know?
Yeah.
You have like a decent profession, and you look smart, they would say.
You look smart.
Whatever that means. Yeah. So it conveys, yeah, different messages. Wearing traditional clothing, if you wear traditional clothing, sometimes you are considered, you are, you know, you are here to play, you know. That's why when they have traditional music or traditional performances, then they would wear traditional clothing. But the moment you are, you know, in an official or formal meeting and you're wearing traditional, you know, clothing, you are likely to be the outstanding one, but not in a, you know, good way, I would say. Or yeah, sometimes I guess people, of course, wish they could wear like that all the time, but the pressure that is put on them to feel, you know, not smart enough, they are not brave enough, I guess, to do that.
How would you define your fashion, your styling today?
My styling today?
Today?
Very influenced.
Perhaps today, like you are today, but I mean in general.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I personally, I would so love to wear the original traditional clothing. But I know in the setup that I live, whereby, you know, being topless is indecent. So I wouldn't do that for sure. But what I try to do is that I try to at least acquire what is now traditional clothing in the modern context of, in general, in Africa. They have this African print material that they are again claiming or owning. But I also understand that the history of how it got there and how it became an African print is actually, its origin is in Asia, and the Dutch had traded within Africa the
Indonesian
print.
Cloths, no? The fabrics. Yeah.
So, but then it was like many years, I don't know if it was in 19th century or 18 or 16 there. So they traded, and then the Africans got access to this, you know, material, and they started producing them in Africa. So then basically that's how it developed to become African print. So I try to get as much as that and use it differently to create a style. I prefer that as to the official formal clothing.
You were
style.
Saying that in your bachelor, well, when you were styling yourself, you were using other clothes.
Yes.
No? What? How did you define this styling?
I don't have a definition. The thing is, I suck at fashion and trends and so on. I just dress what I feel like doing. And I don't even know terminologies that they use in fashion. I wouldn't have a name for it. But basically, I dressed quite differently. I always sort of wore either my beads that I have gotten from my tribe. Until at a certain point, I was told, and I was really embarrassed that I actually had to take them out. The beads we wore in the waist, or on the waist, do they say in the waist?
On the waist, I think.
Yeah. So they wear that. And then unfortunately, when I moved to the capital city, so many people were, you know, putting so much pressure on me, like, oh, you shouldn't wear that, it's so backward, and so on. So I gave in, and then I started wearing it again after I realized that it's just bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't have a style in concrete, but I always sort of mixed, you know, the ordinary clothing style with my cultural. Because by then, again, in Namibia, we don't have a lot of access to African print materials. We don't produce any. But then after the exposure and having traveled to other African countries and seeing, you know, women using this, for example, in the Southern Africa, we call it shitenge or kitenge and so on, using it in a very different manner. One way it's a skirt, the other time it will be a wrap, and the other time they would use it to carry their babies on their back or in front. I felt like this is amazing, and I should also use it, you know, differently
when
make clothing.
When did you arrive in Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Your first impression on the styling of people, you felt some difference or?
Absolutely, it's so different.
How do you do?
It's so different.
What did you think? Or
I mean, it's, I guess, I, for me, it's a lot of people wear like dark colors, basically
dark.
Black,
yeah.
Especially black. And somehow at the beginning, when I moved here, I was a little bit like I felt like I couldn't wear my clothing. I think for the first month, I was really like, okay, I should try to fit in and try not to be outstanding, because of course it's not likely that you would find, especially in Winda, people were telling me, wow, those are nice, but then when it gets cold, you won't be able to wear them and so on. But I mean, you just need to put something
under.
You know, under, and that's it. You don't have to wear like all black to be warm. Yeah, I know black color is good for the warmth, but yeah. So I when I came here, I think it's one of the country I have been to, one of the countries I have been to without like a lot of diversity in clothing, I guess.
Yeah.
Like most people are likely to wear, you know.
And your how it does it influence the clothes and the things that you dress yourself in the day? How does it influence from your state of mood?
For me, that's why I after the 1 month of trying to fit in, I decided, okay, because it's really I think wearing colorless basically is much more complex, or it affects my mood if I am wearing not colorful. So that's why today I try to wear as many colors as I have always worn back home, and just be myself, because being myself makes me happy. And yeah, the mood is always exciting when I'm wearing myself. Yeah.
Okay, Ndapewa, thank you very much
thank
for
you.
This conversation.
Thank you very much to you.